No chicken, bad chicken.
You all, Maria's been having some difficulties lately. She thinks that her cats are chickens.
Bad chicken.
I have regularly heard her refer to her cats as chickens. When you just heard her say bad chicken right now, she is in fact talking to a cat.
Bad chicken. You drop it. Drop it.
No, she appears to think that the cat is a dog and is going to actually respond to verbal commands and snaps.
Drop it.
Cats are not chickens. Cats are not dogs.
Chicken, no!
There's a hierarchy of the animal kingdom. There is a specific delineation, demarcation.
Bad!
There are, there's the kingdoms. There's the, I don't remember what
phylum.
Comes after. Phylum, you know.
Genus, class, species, that's not the right order.
Whatever. I mean, you're getting there. The important point is, Maria.
What?
Cats are not chickens.
I know, but it sounds like kitten. That's why I say it.
In what world?
Chicken, kitten.
It has
very
the same
similar.
Number of syllables, I think is what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like if I had a cold and I was like, I gotta go feed my kittens.
That
nearly sounds like
still
chickens.
Still sounds like kittens.
And also, wouldn't it be great if I just had two chickens running around my house?
That would be great.
Eating
I love
cat
chickens.
Food.
That would be weird.
Snuggling with me in bed?
Sure. I'll give you that. I'm not going to give you the cat food bit. That's weird.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah.
Do you think Google sounds like kitten?
No.
Googles. Think about if you were sick.
Googles. What do you
I
feed
have to
my
go
Googles?
Feed my Googles.
Nope.
My
no.
kittens. I think it sounds just as much like
what?
Chickens.
Are you serious with me right now? Yeah. You think Google and kitten sounds as close as chicken and kitten? Get out.
Yeah, I do.
If you agree with Megan, text Megan to the number 66612. If you agree with Maria, text Maria Rules to 11003. What if I
what?
Really set that up?
Why do you get Maria Rules and I just get Megan?
I don't know. That's just the way it happened.
You're the one who set it up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
This is a show where we talk about the classification of animals and homonyms.
Yes.
Those are our two topics. We're called Magic the Amateuring because we don't talk about Magic the Gathering.
Never.
Never.
Almost never.
Almost never.
Next to never. Next to never. We like to, on some occasions, talk about horse raising.
Oh, yeah. Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
We really haven't updated you guys enough on him recently.
Oh, I wish you should do
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones news. One of our listeners told us that this was the weirdest 2 minutes of every one of his Tuesdays was listening to our show.
Yeah. I countered with like, this is probably the weirdest 5 minutes of my week.
Yep. I mean, that's very true. We definitely start the show in an odd way every episode, Megan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm proud of that.
If you do something enough times, isn't it just normal?
Great point. Like, on today's show.
Think about it. If one day, like,
we just
everyone you know ran around with their pants on their arms acting like a chicken, but then they did it every day, eventually you wouldn't think it was weird anymore.
I think it would need like a generation or two.
A generation? No, I bet you after a year of
what?
Everyone you knew putting their pants on their arms and running around like chickens for an hour, you would no longer think it was weird.
What? It would only take a year?
I bet you it would only take you a year.
I don't know.
Eventually you'd be like, that's normal.
I feel like it needs to be bred into you, right?
I don't think so.
Like babies are born with a fear of heights.
There's a gene for thinking things are weird.
Yeah.
We just need to wait until that gene weeds itself out of the gene pool eventually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I said generations. It'll take a while.
I don't think so.
All right, we're going to do an experiment. I'm going to get a bunch of people. They're going to run around. It's like the prisoner experiment, and some of them are going to be normal. And not wear pants on their arms. And some of them are going to wear pants on their arms and act like chickens.
Maria, we're going to know which ones are which.
Oh, fine. This experiment is flawed already.
It really is. So, everyone, Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, it's a game.
It's a great card game. We're here to bring you all sorts of news and resources, whether you be a new player, whether you be a player returning to the game, or whether thou beest a player in search of that elusive chuckle.
What do you think is the most elusive chuckle?
Which dust from your stomach erupt?
Like a belly laugh? That's a sort of elusive chuckle.
Yeah. I would say like the parrot-footed chuckle.
What?
Yeah, the parrot-footed chuckle.
Please demonstrate it.
I can't. It's too elusive.
Ooh.
All right. Well, you've gotten a full like 6 weird minutes this week.
Yeah, that's true. On today's show, we're going to talk about a couple of exciting things, including Battle for Zendikar draft. And we're going to talk about it under the lens of percentages over time. We'll say more about what that means coming up, but it has to do with green and staying away from colors or versus mm-hmm. drafting them. We're also going to crack a Justin Bieber pack and play Pack Wars with it.
Absolutely. We recorded this at the PPTQ last weekend, but we've been saving it.
Yeah.
As a super sweet egg. That's what they call them, right?
Easter egg.
Easter egg.
If you just call it an egg, it doesn't work.
Okay, you're speaking from a place where you only hide decorated hard-boiled eggs during Easter.
Oh.
I'm speaking from a place where I just sometimes hide eggs.
Just be like a squirrel so you can find them with a joy later?
Yep, exactly.
Like $5, I'll hide it in a plant and then I'll find it and be like, this is the best day!
Why in a plant?
Just because I wouldn't look there.
Yeah.
But then I water it, boom, $5, best day. So you're like, you put an egg, you hide an egg in like the, you know, the cabinet with the toilet paper rolls. You find that egg and you're just like, best day.
Best day. So we've got a sweet Justin Bieber egg for you.
And we're going to talk a little bit about slow play as well. But before we do that, Megan.
Yes.
It's announcement time.
Is it?
Yes. Blow the announcement horn.
Boo doo 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 doo.
Thank you.
Boo boo.
Okay, stop showing off. Now you're just showing off.
Boop, boop.
We get it. You can play the announcement horn.
Boop, boop, boop. But I don't get to play it often.
That's
enough.
True. That's true.
I got it out of its case. I dusted it off. I cleaned it out.
You cleaned the spit valve.
Gross. You're supposed to clean that before you put it away.
Okay. Oh, that's why I was never in band. Specifically because I did not want to do that because it's disgusting.
It's only some instruments. Mostly the brass.
You're telling me the drums don't have a spit valve?
Oh no, drums have a spit valve. But there are just like some other instruments.
It just comes from the drummer drooling all over the drums.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a drummer joke, everybody. Boom. Slam.
A slam on drummers. We really roasted drummers today.
That's usually a banjo joke, honestly.
That you drooled on your banjo?
Yes, like there's so many banjo jokes.
What?
I used to host a show. That was a bluegrass radio show.
And you exclusively made jokes about banjos?
Well, look, I looked up, I was like, it'd be nice to tell a joke between songs. I looked up bluegrass jokes. What were they? They were all bad about banjo players. I was offended.
Maria, I think if you Google anything plus joke, you can find a lot of jokes about it.
Anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, give me something. That you want me to Google jokes about?
Sure. Just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Aloe plant.
Aloe plant jokes. I'm going to find aloe plant jokes.
All right, you do that. I'm going to give the announcement. Everybody, great news. Thanks to your support on Patreon, we are now going to release episodes of Magic the Pro the Ring one time a month. It's going to happen this month, starting next Monday on iTunes. Your first episode of the Pro the Ring will be out with a super, super awesome sauce guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's going to be a surprise.
Exciting.
But it's a great guest. I
so
wouldn't
excited.
Lie to you.
We're so excited.
Yeah, we're so excited. And here's the best part. It's not only going to be on iTunes on the same feed as this show, it's also going to debut on Tolarian Community College.
Holy what?
Yeah, you guys know the professor. He was on our show a few episodes back. He creates great videos and content on YouTube through his YouTube channel, Tolarian Community College. He's a super great, awesome, nice guy. Really funny. And we're partnering with him to release Magic the Pro the Ring. So.
Boop-a-doo-doo.
Thank you for that horn again.
Sorry, I'm just so excited. The announcement horn is just so excited.
So, Magic the Pro the Ring, look for it there. It's going to release on Tuesday on Tolarian Community College. It'll be on iTunes Monday, but if you want to wait, I would suggest, hey, go ahead and support the professor by watching it on Tuesday on YouTube. We're not going to charge you for this on Patreon. It's just a way of us saying thank you for being members and supporting our show. If you are not a member yet and you want to join, I encourage it. It's patreon.com/mtacast for a little as a dollar an episode. You can become a supporter too and help us reach our next level.
Holy snap.
Yeah, but I'm really excited about this because not only will the professor be hosting our Prothering episodes, he's also going to be hosting our weekly episodes as well. So what that means is you will still be able to get our episodes on magicamateuring.com or on iTunes. But if you want to find them on, you know, that's an easy way to listen to them, like while you're at work or something, for instance, you'll be able to find them on Tolarian Community College on YouTube through the professor's channel on Fridays. So we're still going to release on Tuesdays like we have been for a very long time now, but the professor will put them up on Fridays, and hopefully in the near future they'll also be accompanied by video.
Say what?
I know.
No, say what?
There'll be a video of us.
No, what? Say what?
What?
They're going to be accompanied by video.
Oh my god.
Announcement horn.
So if watching me and Megan talk into microphones is your kind of thing, get ready, because you're going to see it.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to wash my hair so much more often now.
Oh, I'm not going to. Screw it.
Oh, I mean, that's really brave of you.
Thank you.
Maria.
What?
My aloe puns are succulent.
Okay. So you found a joke. Congratulations. You proved your point.
It's my aloe puns. Succulent.
Yeah, they do. For the noobs, slow play. Hey, you guys, have you ever been in a match and your opponent's playing super slow, like a sloth? Like, you're like, am I playing against a human or am I playing against a sloth?
Yeah, I mean, I've wondered that. It's usually pretty easy to tell.
Sometimes.
Sloths eat, just in general, more bananas than people.
And they have really long, creepy fingernails.
Yeah, they really do. So
and only three fingers.
Weird, creepy fingernails. They might be a sloth.
They might be a sloth. If they have moss growing on them, they might be a sloth.
They might be a sloth. If they're hanging upside down on the bottom of their chair,
they might be a sloth. Do you know some people call sloths sloths?
Why?
Like in England?
They're wrong.
I agree. They are wrong. That's just really weird.
That's not a way you say that word.
How you say it. I mean, I can get behind a lot of British pronunciations. Not that.
Not that one.
Sloth? No. Anyway, we're talking about this because recently Paulo Vitor Damo de Rosa wrote an article for Channel Fireball on slow play. So you can find this article up there. It was about how he was encouraging judges to be more vigilant in calling out slow play. Mm-hmm. Now, a judge is not always going to be at your match watching. Like Paulo.
Very often they are not going to be.
Paulo's in the feature match area a lot where judges watch matches like hawks.
Where judges are abundant as blue bonnets in spring in Texas.
Oh, that was adorable.
Thank you.
Do you have a blue bonnet?
Do I have one?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, you were talking about the flower.
Yes. Did you think I was talking about blue bonnets like that people would wear?
Yeah, on like girls.
That's super weird.
Like, hey, it's spring. It's time to put on a blue bonnet.
Yeah, that's right, because Texas is still stuck in the 1890s.
Aren't they, though?
Put on their blue bonnet.
Aren't they, though?
I mean, in some ways, they really are.
Yeah, so you're not going to have this experience a lot, but you will have it in playing against people who play slow, or perhaps you play slowly, and people will tell you about it. So the first thing to know about slow play is something that Paulo stressed, which is if your opponent says, hey, would you mind playing faster, or you need to make a play, they're not accusing you of cheating. They're just saying you need to play faster, and he wants to remove some of the stigma from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, I have said it to people before, and I never thought of it in the context of being, like, telling them that they're cheating or accusing them of cheating. It's just, you know, like, someone needs to be conscious of time.
Yep.
Because, you know, matches are timed, rounds are timed, and nobody wants a draw.
Yeah, no. And I think, you know, a reason that I've been in the past is scared to call my opponents on it is because I didn't want them to think like, oh, she's accusing me of slow playing on purpose to try and get a draw out of this game instead of losing. And, you know, that's not the reason, unless, of course, they are doing that, which is usually not the case. I just want to make the game reach its conclusion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think us talking about it on this show, and if you talk to your friends about it too and just say, hey, would you mind playing faster? I don't want to have a draw. Like, yeah. I think that's a good way to say it.
Absolutely. Saying, yeah, like, I'd prefer not to draw, or you can even, like, indicate, like, your opponent probably doesn't want to draw.
Yeah.
Like a draw would suck or something like that. Yeah, just saying it in like a way that is friendly, but still getting the point across of like, well, let's hurry up here.
And try not to take offense. I know it's hard because sometimes I remember somebody told me once, like, I need you to play faster. And I was like, what? Ah, screw you, buddy. I'm playing fast or whatever.
Yeah.
But from their perspective, maybe you're not. And absolutely. And it won't hurt you even to just try and not take offense to it and acknowledge it in your own way and say, okay, and then just try and pick up your pace a little bit. And if you're a judge, something Paula was stressing was that you shouldn't always just call slow play when you're in the final turns of a game or near the end.
Yeah, you should call it as early as it ever happens.
Right, and this is something that you should do even if you're not a judge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If your opponent is slow playing at the beginning of a round, that's going to turn into a bigger issue farther down the line.
Oh, yes. It's like maybe.
I know that there have been many times when I've thought to myself, like, oh, man, I'm going to need to, like, I need to win games 1 and 2 because we wouldn't finish a game 3. And obviously, if I'm having that thought early enough in the round,
yeah,
I can call it then.
That's a good, like, mental shortcut. If I'm thinking that,
yeah, absolutely.
I better say something.
Yes. Absolutely. Another thing that if you feel like you are perhaps a slow player, which I know that I can be a bit of a slow player if I'm not paying attention to my speed. One of the things that I've really been working on is making myself mechanically faster at the game. So just something like, especially now in Constructed with so many fetch lines, you have to shuffle so often, making yourself mechanically a quick shuffler. Not spending an excessive amount of time shuffling your deck. When you draw your card, not drawing it slowly, you know, like drawing quickly, playing lands quickly, tapping your lands quickly, differentiating, making the taking time making your decision from taking time doing the action.
Right. And I think that's with fetch lands is especially important because sometimes people will look through their deck looking for one specific land. Just one, the first time you see it, take it.
Exactly. I think, yeah, that's a great point as well. So just being more conscious of that, because sometimes, you know, you spend time thinking about like, okay, I want to leave blue white open. So that means I'm going to have to tap, you know, this set of lands and make sure that I'm leaving blue and white open. Okay, I've spent that time making that decision. Now I can tap quickly instead of tapping as if I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, that's a good point. The time I've noticed it most bothering me in games has been when my opponent is thinking, when they do not have an option for a play.
Oh, absolutely. And that I feel like is the prime time to call someone out.
Slow play. Yep.
To call slow play. When your opponent is tapped out.
Yep.
And they sit there thinking before passing the turn.
Yep.
If your opponent has already attacked with other creatures and has tapped out or something like that. And then they sit there before passing the turn and it's like, you obviously can't do anything right now. You're tapped out.
What they're probably doing is thinking about their next play or what they're going to do on your turn. And let me just say a message to you. If you're that person, try instead passing the turn and then thinking when you have a decision to make.
Absolutely. Or even thinking while your opponent is thinking.
Yep.
Like maybe your opponent begins their turn and you have a moment or two while they're thinking about what land they're going to play or if they have any spells that they want to cast pre-combat. They're going to spend a little time thinking about that. And that's a good time to sort out, hey, what am I going to do during my next turn? Or if my opponent plays X, what am I going to do? If my opponent doesn't play anything and goes straight into combat, what am I going to do? You don't need to wait until your opponent moves into their combat step and declares attackers to already kind of have, you know, like the little decision tree in your mind of if they do X, I will, you know, I'll block this way. If they do Y, I'll block this way.
Right. And so there's two things I want to say about this is that you have to keep in mind that Magic is a game that one of the skills required is to make a play in a certain amount of time and to finish a game in a certain amount of time. Making decisions within a time constraint is part of the game.
It totally is.
Some decks are more difficult to play than others and so will require more lengthy decisions. But you still need to be cognizant of the fact that that is on you of picking that deck.
And honestly, if you can't do it, you need to not play that deck.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Your cat is scratching at your door like a murderer.
You mean my chicken?
Your cat,
Maria. Okay, let me go let him in.
Although at this point it could be a chicken, those little claws scraping on the ground. Scrape, scrape, scrape.
Like a scrape, murderer.
Scrape, scrape, scrape.
Come on. Oh my god, now the other one went out.
Just lock the other one out now.
He's been so bad, I don't even... Ugh. You stay out there.
Maria literally just locked the door on her cat.
You never know when they're going to grow thumbs, Megan.
I mean, it's true.
Okay. What was I talking
about? It's only
going
to take about a year.
Yeah. For that to seep into the gene pool.
Exactly.
Cats with thumbs. I mean, some of them already have five, you know, six fingers.
Yeah.
So anyway, what was
I saying? So anyway, call people on slow play. Mechanically and in use of your time, make sure that you yourself are working on becoming or are not a slow player.
And if you're just starting out, don't freak out about it. Like, you do have enough time in the round. I'm somebody who leans on the side of being too quick a player, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's also an issue, which we've talked about on the show before, that use the time wisely, I think, is the answer. And always be mindful of the time on the clock.
Don't sit there with all of your mana tap not passing the turn back.
This is a PSA for you people.
Oh my goodness. It's just so funny, like when you say it, it's like I have like PTSD.
No, I know. I saw your eyes kind of like
that's right. Every time it happens, I'm just like, why are you doing this to me? Who sent you here?
You heard the gunfire again.
Yeah.
I saw it in your eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
When we had this discussion, we tweeted an article that was written by Judge Ricky, who I interviewed at a panel once when we were in Omaha, and he had wrote it about, you know, people will inevitably bring up the idea of chess clocks being used in Magic, because Magic Online has a clock, right?
Yeah.
If you run out, then you run out. And some people are like, why not have a clock like in chess?
Just think it, guys. Just think about how often you would have to hit that clock.
It would be... you know, a minimum of seven times a turn or something.
You would have clock carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel.
Clocker.
Sounds like a German word.
It really does. The clocker tunnel.
Like, I play, you know, main phase. I cast a spell. Do you respond? Nope. My turn.
Like, clocker tunnel.
Not to mention the cost of upkeep and people stealing them and how to... Anyway... go in our Twitter at MTAcast if you want to read that article. I thought it was very good.
If you're ever like, we should use clocks, go read it.
Just go read that and be like, oh, just kidding.
I get it. All right.
So yeah, there's two good articles we can recommend. Paolo's article on Channel Fireball and Ricky's article, which I tweeted out from our account. So yeah, check it out.
Check it out.
And you know, as Megan says, don't be that guy or girl.
Don't be that person.
Don't be that human being.
Or else.
Don't be that sloth.
Or else. Don't be that sloth. Unless you're eating a banana, because then that's adorable.
Percentages over time.
Hey, everybody. A couple of weeks ago, when we had a couple of interviews that Maria did at the Pro Tour, specifically, Owen Turtenwald mentioned how much he hated green. And then he went and he wrote an article about it on Channel Fireball.
Yeah, he said to me, I would literally rather not play the draft than play green.
Yeah, and in his article, he lists a bunch of different commons that he would take over green bomb rares.
Yeah.
Just being like, yeah, I would rather take this common over this bomb green card because green is so bad.
Right.
And, you know, there have been bad colors, there have been bad strategies and formats in the past. For instance, anything that wasn't white in M15.
Yep.
I still like to hate on M15 every chance that I get.
Yeah, no worries.
Anyways, and there were a lot of replies that were kind of along the lines of, you know, like, well, but what if I'm the only green drafter? Or, you know, I got this, like, X super sweet deck. I got, like, X, like, green white allies and it was super good. Or I got, like, yeah, green, you know, multicolor allies or whatever, and it was super great.
Multicolor Allies is going to be in the upcoming set called Old School London, and it's just going to be like a location based set where they're the various allegiances are like alleys. Cathedrals is like a set you can play that's like blue white. Allies is like black red, or you can play like rivers. You can play
blue black rivers with blue black.
Oh, okay, blue black is rivers. Like the Thames is like a sweet, super sweet mythic rare.
Ooh, nice.
St. Paul's Cathedral, mythic rare. The fire, the great fire that like destroys everything. Anyway.
And so it's going to be like a history set?
Yeah, it's like very historical based, but also there's like not...
But it's also mostly about alleys?
Mostly about alleys.
Multicolor alleys. So anyways, and so a bunch of people were like, hey, you know, what about, you know, X scenario that comes up and which green would be good?
Right. And I've drafted green decks.
Yeah.
You know, specifically Landfall, I think, and Green-White, which have been really successful. And in some cases, I felt they're unbeatable.
Yeah. Maria, I will offer you this statistic. The last time that I did not make the finals of an 8-4 on Moto was the time that I drafted green.
Interesting.
I have since never drafted green, and I have made the finals of every single draft.
Yeah.
And I don't think that those things are unrelated.
So, I don't think green is something that is, like, horrible, and you should, like, not, if you're going to get the plague if you touch it. But what you're saying is, if I don't draft green, I will overall have more wins than if I do.
Yes. And that's why we're talking today about something that's like a little difficult to talk about because it's a little nebulous and it's a little bit more mathy than what I'm typically good at, if we're being very honest. I have a reasonable understanding of my math abilities.
It's like if your parents get divorced, but one of them still lives in a tent in the backyard. Hard to talk about and kind of like difficult to
comprehend.
Yep.
Life is weird. Just start living with
yep,
it.
Yep.
So percentages over time is something that you start to experience when you overall start to make minute better choices that add up to an overall better record over maybe hundreds of games, maybe thousands of games. You know, it will be a very large number of matches that you play before you see an overall trend, but the growth trend is there. When we're talking about slow play, that's another really good facet of that.
Right.
Is that if you become a better player or a faster player, even if you're only reducing the number of draws that you get by 1 in 10, over time, that's still a really significant increase in the number of wins that you're going to have as a player.
Right.
And I feel that drafting green in this set is a very similar experience. Sure, I'm going to miss the 1 in 20 times that green is really great, but I'm also excusing myself from... You know, maybe if I drafted it, what would be a reasonable amount that you draft a color? Maybe you draft it in 1/3 of the decks. Then I'm also excusing myself from 8 times or 7 times that I would have drafted it and it would have been bad.
Yeah, this is interesting to hear it talked about like this.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard about it, I was coming at it from the opinion like, hey, I've drafted this deck. It is not bad. Like, I've won a couple of 8-4s with a green deck or whatever. But what you're saying is, like, overall, you're going to have more wins if you just stay the heck away.
Absolutely. I think that overall, your draft decks are going to be better. That if you, maybe you look at, if you look at one deck at a time, you'll say, hey, this green deck was great. And this blue-red deck was only mediocre. But if you look at 20 drafts in which you never drafted green and 20 drafts in which you sometimes drafted green, you're overall going to have better draft decks and a better win percentage in this 20 drafts where you did not touch green at all.
Right.
And so that's kind of, there have been times in the past couple of weeks when I've been drafting and I'm like, people have gotten the message, green is not good and green is very open. I'm getting past super late Orin Reef invokers and stuff like that, super late unnatural aggressions. But I still, like, I don't think it's worth it. And I've, you know, I've passed up on all of those times and I've still made the finals of all of those drafts. And I think it's because, like, my decks have still just been consistently better.
What do you think
than if I touched green?
Nobody else is drafting green at the table.
That's really difficult to say, because how do you know that you're in that situation? I mean, I guess you would see that green is insanely open.
Yeah, let's just say it's just crazy.
Green bomb rares. Again, it's really difficult because if you're looking at the case by case basis, which is what you usually want to do in terms of draft, right? You want to read your signals. You want to look at every draft as an individual experience. Then you would be like, yeah, that's a great time to draft green. But how likely is that to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think is kind of the question. And so if you're looking at it case by case, you would be like, of course, if that happens, I want to be drafting that color. But if you look at it as percentage increase over time, or like upping your win percentage over time in draft, you would not want to be in green. Your other cat is now being a murderer at the door.
Oh my God.
He opened it. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's a human. It wasn't a cat. I just freaked out.
It was super really creepy.
Oh my God. I thought it was gonna be a cat. Creepy. Little shit actually did open the door. Oh, it's my roommate, y'all.
Nice.
I'm grabbing things and I'm leaving again, right?
Okay, bye.
Yeah, twice, really quick.
Oh my God, that scared me so bad.
So anyways, yeah, I think that in general, one, if green is very open, then it's likely that someone else at the table is going to get suckered into it. Let them be the suckers.
Yeah, but now I'm wondering, what is the tipping point? If nobody's drafting it, then does it suddenly become good?
I would say if nobody is drafting it, then yes, it is good.
So now we're going to have to wait a couple weeks and then it'll shift and then nobody will ever draft it. And then you draft it and you've got the inside edge.
Yeah, if you are the literal only person and every pack you have the pick of whatever the best green card in the pack was, then like, yeah, that's probably going to be a good deck.
Interesting.
But I think that right now that's not ever really going to happen. People don't like it. But I don't think everyone dislikes it enough yet.
Well, after this episode, people are going to be taking a giant dump on anything green they see.
Yeah.
See that tree over there? Pooping on it. Oh, look at that bush. I'm going to barf up my cereal on it. Oh, check out this sweet hedge. Chop it with a kitchen knife.
It sounds like people are going to be committing a lot of crimes.
Yeah, tree crimes are going to be on the rise.
Oh, I mean, I'm really sorry. That was not my intention with
this. Megan, you've got to think about what crimes, you know.
You really need to think about the consequences of your actions. Like drafting green and losing, or cutting someone else's hedges down and being arrested because you can't just cut any random person's hedges.
I can't?
No.
There's a hedge law?
There is a hedge law.
What if I set up a hedge fund for those hedges?
I don't think you understand what a hedge fund is.
Last weekend, we went to a PPTQ, and we recorded with somebody who cracked a Justin Bieber collectible card pack.
Not just pack, Maria.
He bought a booster box.
He bought a whole box.
Yep.
What a hero.
He was a hero. And we cracked these packs and we played some pack wars. Completely arbitrary pack wars.
It was very arbitrary pack wars. It's our friend Sam, if you've heard on the show before, when we did our GP Madison episode. And we're gonna go ahead and bring you a special Justin Bieber egg hidden in this episode. All right, we're here for a PPTQ, and as is always necessary, we're cracking a box of Justin Bieber, 9 packs of what would you guys call these collectible Justin Bieber competitive Justin Bieber trading cards. You get a foil in your pack. Maria and Sam are about to pack wars these. How do you guys feel about your chances?
I feel great because with Justin Bieber you always win.
This is a very bomb oriented format, so it really depends on the draws.
Fair enough. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you. Ready?
I'm gonna go ahead and do commentary on this. All right, okay. Go ahead. Maria has flipped Justin Bieber in concert.
Oh, he's singing.
He's singing.
What does it say about
this? It's very intense. Oh,
okay. It's a first print, too. It says so.
Yeah. Oh, it's a first print.
Justin have adoring fans screaming for him around the stage at the 2010 Pepsi Super Bowl fan jam. A few fans actually got the chance to watch while on stage with him from behind a see-through barrier.
Wow.
That sounds creepy.
That's what Maria has flipped. Sam, let's see what you've got.
Oh.
Ooh,
oh.
Damn.
Okay. He's like, also a first print. Yeah, clearly. Even though he was in Auckland, New Zealand, for only one day, Justin wouldn't pass up the chance to perform for his faithful fans. This time, he gave them a show. Ooh. I can't say that.
What?
That. How do you, any ideas?
Oh, no, some school.
Trivia, what is Justin's idea of the perfect girl?
His mom.
I don't know. It doesn't say. The answer's on card 83. I'm going to have to crack a few more packs.
Oh, no!
All right, I'm going to go ahead and call... I'm going to call Sam the winner of this round because Justin Bieber does look like he's starting to take off his jacket in this photo.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, round two.
Flip it.
Oh, man, you're just Justin Bieber in concert over here.
Yeah. Justin got to take part as a performer at Nickelodeon's 23rd Annual Kids' Choice Award in Los Angeles. Did you know that?
No.
Well, yep. Hey, was that card 71 right there? Because my answer is answer from card 71, Selena Gomez.
No.
It could have worked.
It's not.
Okay.
All right. All right, Sam, let's see it.
I think this is a trump card. It says baby, baby.
And it's a sticker.
Is that a sticker?
It's a sticker.
That wins again.
Sticker wins again, yeah. You guys.
All right, I'm going to flip.
Put that on your deck box.
It's going to be on my deck box.
Justin Bieber looking pretty fly here.
At the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
All right.
Sam, let's see what you got.
Oh,
what is that? No.
I'm so afraid of this card.
He's wearing
an
A's athletics hat. Is that what that is?
And he's holding up a mask or something in front of his face.
Is that leopard print?
No, it's just a plaid. I actually really like these trivia questions. If you read the trivia question and then like use the answer from the same card, even though it's supposed to be to a different card.
Let's hear it.
Why does Justin like Twitter?
Why?
He was 12 years old.
Perfect. Well, we're going to declare Maria the winner of this round. That other photo is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy and weird. Too.
What is Justin's idea of the perfect girl? Entourage.
Netflix and chill. I got a sticker. I got the sticker.
All right. We already know. Sticker wins.
Yep. Also, this is a pretty weak card.
Yeah.
The stats on it aren't that great.
No, it's just him, hair, and a microphone.
Like tutu vanilla to me.
Tutu vanilla Bieber.
Oh, Justin's on the phone. And it's a corded phone. Was he even born while corded phones were around?
I don't know. He looks like a tiny child in that photo.
Oh, he's doing Help for Haiti telephone phone bank. That's what he's doing.
Oh, he's so good.
Oh.
Such a great person.
All right, Sam, what are you going to combat that with?
Oh,
it's a puzzle piece. It's just his hand on his chest.
Well, okay, I'm going to stick this puzzle piece right here while we crack some more packs.
All right, I have to say that telephone for...
I did.
Yes. It was $5.
I didn't
know you were going to
have
me. It was a great value.
It was max value, dog.
All right, last one.
Last card. It's a puzzle piece. It's like his shoulder?
Yeah, or something.
I don't know what this is. Also a puzzle piece. This is a draw. I think this round's a draw.
All right, I agree. Let's hear the trivia on these ones.
All right. How did more than 800 students from an Edwardtown middle school earn a private concert from Justin? Answer from another card? The dark.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay, this trivia is bad. We're just not going to read this one.
All right. Well, that's been our first round here at the PPTQ of Justin Bieber Pack Wars. Hey, everybody.
As is our tradition on this show, we will do a holiday-themed crack-a-pack a few weeks late.
Literally several weeks at this point, like multiple weeks late. Many weeks late. But we're going to bring you Battle for Zendikar Trick or Treating.
Yay! Did you not get enough Halloween? Good news, I've got more Halloween out the wazoo for you.
Also, how did you, like, Halloween I feel like is the one where everybody gets enough. Doesn't everybody get enough Halloween?
No, I don't.
What?
I love Halloween.
Like that's your own fault.
What?
Halloween is the one holiday where it's your own goddamn fault.
I love Halloween. Second favorite holiday. Maybe even first favorite. Probably first favorite.
I don't understand that, but okay. Well, Maria.
Who is at my door?
Oh, not that one. Ding dong. Hey, give me some candy or I'll fight you.
Whoa.
Just give me some candy, man. That's what I'm here for.
All right, unnatural aggression. Here's your Snickers.
Thank you.
I nailed it. Woohoo. Now I'm going to pick a card. Megan doesn't know who's coming to her door.
Ding dong. Wait, no, I don't ring the bell.
I ring the bell, you weirdo.
I rang my own doorbell.
Okay, my costume's going to be great this year. Ding dong.
Hello, welcome.
Merry Christmas. Oh, shoot. That went really wrong. Let me try again. Ding dong.
Hello.
Happy Easter. Oh, hi. No. That was so wrong.
You're so confused.
Oh, sorry. Things are going badly. Things are going badly.
Are they going horribly awry for you?
What a great costume. I'm just going to put a lot of big candy bars. I'm going to be the house with a bunch of full-size candy bars in this bowl.
Ding dong.
Oh, hi.
Ding dong.
Oh, whoa.
Ding dong.
Whoa, I opened the door.
I'm so good at hitting what I mean to hit. Like ding dong. Ding dong.
That's great.
Dong.
Great job.
Three times.
Don't wear out
three
my batteries.
I hit it right on target three whole times. I hit it the first time.
Uh-huh.
I was first. I just want to be clear that I was first.
Okay.
I hit it three times. So can I get candy?
Oh, you look so cute, Sheerstrike.
Thank you.
I love this game. Oh my God, that's horrifying. I don't want to dress as that. Too dirty. Okay. Ding dong.
Hello.
Hi, we're here to trick or treat. I brought my two young infants with me.
Oh, are you,
I mean, I'm just gonna leave them here to trick or treat. They're gonna trick or treat. I'm gonna go away. My two little babies are gonna collect the candy. I'm just gonna get out of here.
Can you not see them?
I mean, I can see them. Yes, I can see them. I'm just gonna leave them here. I'm gonna go to the graveyard and die.
Are you calling the scion?
Yep, there you go.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Hello, hello, welcome.
Hi, 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 hi.
Oh boy.
Hi, 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 hi. There's just so many of us.
Oh, from beyond?
No, and we're all coming at you.
From beyond.
We're all coming at you right now. Hey.
Hi.
Hey, we're all so pumped up to be here. There's a whole crap ton of us, and we're so excited. So give me candy. Give me candy. Give me candy. Give me candy. Give me candy.
Give me candy.
Give me candy.
Oh, no.
Give me candy.
I don't know what you're dressed as.
We're so pumped.
We're
all pumped to be here.
Pumped.
We all are.
Okay. What pumps a lot of stuff?
And then we're just going to overwhelm you like a giant wave. Like a giant wave and a storm. It's like a storm surge.
Storm surge?
Yes.
Okay, I couldn't get that one.
Swarm surge.
Swarm surge, okay. Dumb. Oh, that's a mountain. I won't dress as that. Oh, well, that one's okay. Oh, all right. Ding dong.
Hello.
Hi, do you like my costume? I just floated in here. I floated in here. It looks like I should be in the ocean, but I'm not. I'm in the sky.
Mist Intruder?
Oh, no. Mist Intruder is a smaller card than me.
You're a big thing in the sky?
I'm in the sky. I mean, I'm an okay size, but it's surprising that I'm in the sky and not in the sea.
Because you're a sky squid.
Oh, no. Not a squid, but I'm some kind of fish.
You're a sky fish?
Because that's a card in this set.
Skyfish. Nailed it.
No, I'm just, I'm a good staple of the blue-white flyers deck, but you're not super excited to take me.
This is my I'm not giving you candy face.
Fine. Guess I'll go use my Cloud Manta costume on somebody else.
Oh, Cloud Manta! Of course. Ding dong.
Oh, hello.
Hey, it's just me. If you have any like ruined candy, I'll take it, and I'll just, you know.
You need to learn respect for yourself. Ask for a full candy bar.
No, I don't need a full candy bar. I'm so tiny. Like, I'm so tiny, and I'm just, like, a little, you know, like, I'm just one of, like, the little workers getting the job done, and if you just have any ruined candy, I can go ahead and, you know, I'll take it, and I'll make it, you know, I'll put it all together and make something reasonable out of it.
Are you a ruination guide?
No, it's not ruined. I mean, it is ruined, but then I come in after it's ruined.
Are you dressed as a little blister pod?
No, but I'm in the same size as a little blister pod.
Oh, you're a little one.
Yeah, that's just me.
For one.
I just need a little, if you have some candy, I'll take it. Or maybe, like, I'll take that candy and I'll take another candy and I'll get rid of one of them. Like, whichever one is worse.
Oh, you're a sacrificer.
No, I'm not a sacrificer. But when I die, someone can take my candy and they can pick the best candy out of the two.
Are
of
you
them.
A cario throw?
No, that's still not me.
What's your costume? I don't even
I'm
know.
I'm just a little salvage drum. Oh,
salvage drum. Good one.
All right.
Great job. Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for listening to another episode of Magically Amateur. And remember, next Monday is the newest, brand new first episode of Magic the Prothering, which will be available through our iTunes feed, as well as on Tolarian Community College on YouTube that Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you
Please,
want, you can
check it out there.
You can upload. I mean, like, you can upload. What am I saying? You can just completely crack out on Magic the Amateuring that day, because you'll get an episode from us next week.
Yeah.
And you'll get Magic the Prothering on Tolarian Community College on YouTube on the same day.
What
a great day.
Crack out.
So every third Monday of a month of the month, or every third Tuesday, you can go and check out Magic the Prothering, thanks to your Patreon
yes,
donations.
With super secret special guest.
Yeah, he's super secret.
Next week.
Oops, I said he. Now you know it's a boy.
Oh my goodness.
I've let the cat out of the chicken out of the bag.
Maria, that's not the saying. God damn it.
Hey guys, if you want to say hi on Magic Online, I'm horny_unicorny.
I am ice cream socialist.
Check out our website, magicallyamateuring.com, and as well as iTunes, and of course, go and visit the professor online.
Absolutely. Please do. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Twitter at MTAcast, on our, send us an email, magicallyamateuring@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if by the way, you're interested in becoming a patron on Patreon, we've got a level, $5 per episode. You can get a t-shirt, and Megan's seen the design.
Oh, you guys, it's amazing.
Awesome.
This design is great.
So all of you $5 pledgers who've been waiting around, don't worry, your t-shirt will be coming. The design's almost finalized and finished and ready to start printing.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
These shirts are going to be so great. I will wear one constantly.
Yeah, I agree. So just get ready for that. If you want to wait and see what it looks like, don't worry, we'll tweet out a picture of it as soon as we have it, and you'll know what you're getting into.
Absolutely. So until next week, friends, countrymen,
Romans,
people,
chickens,
cats,
lend us your eyes
and your ears
and your good luck high fives.